Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining me. On this show, our goal is to find forgiveness so that we may flourish, embracing health and growth. We've all heard it before. Holding on to a grudge hurts you more than the other person. Anger begets more anger, and forgiveness and love lead to more forgiveness and love. But forgiving, even ourselves, is no easy business. The seeds of hurt run deep, and many make the act of forgiveness but never truly let go and move forward. Fortunately, there is a path and a roadmap to freedom. Start by acknowledging the hurt and your feelings about it. Then, try to understand the perspective of the person who hurt you or your capabilities and accountability. The next step is a decision. Decide to forgive, letting go of resentment and the desire for revenge. When you see the clearing, work on rebuilding trust and moving forward with a focus on healing and growth. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Forgiveness is complex, which is both frustrating and assuring. I say this because if taken lightly, we are leading lukewarm lives. With great love comes great sorrow. To be hurt deeply, you have to feel deeply. So in this, it's both a blessing and a curse. I hold no grudges. I can seriously say that. It might be purely selfish, but it takes too much energy and focus to hold on to anger. Oh sure, I've been wronged, at least it felt like that. But then what? If you can't get the satisfaction or an authentic apology and penance, then how do you move forward? You just do, because without a satisfactory resolution, it's a choice to move on without it. It's important to understand that people are just people, flawed, imperfect, hopefully evolving and growing at their own rate. Not everyone is going to be on your page, respond as you respond, and do as you do. If you didn't already know that, let me reiterate, move on. Waiting around for this type of utopia is a worthless vigil. Passion and a zest for life are not defined by extremes. Even in moments of lukewarm feelings, choose to be slow to anger and quick to forgive, embracing a balanced and compassionate approach to living. Dr. Tyler J. Vanderwill shares the power of forgiveness found at psychologytoday.com. We've all been hurt by others. Sometimes those wounds last for a long time. It can be difficult to know how to deal with such hurts or with those who have inflicted them. One approach is to bury and suppress the wounds, but often they then remain with us and reemerge. Another approach is to let the wounds fester, to ruminate upon them and upon anger, and possibly seek revenge. Sometimes that revenge may help pacify one's outrage. At other times, it may not. An alternative approach to dealing with the hurts we all experience is forgiveness. We might define forgiveness as the replacement of ill will towards an offender with goodwill. Conceived as such, forgiveness is distinct from excusing or condoning the action. It's distinct from reconciliation, and it doesn't require forging justice. Forgiveness does not entail ignoring issues of responsibility and accountability. One can forgive an offender and hope for his or her ultimate good, while also pursuing a just outcome. One can also forgive an offender without necessarily seeking a restored relationship. This point is especially important in cases like repeated violence or abuse, where the ending of the relationship may be the best for the victim and the offender alike. Likewise, because forgiveness and reconciliation are not identical, one can also forgive even if the offender has passed away. In conflicts, both parties are hurt, and forgiveness can be helpful in both directions.
Prior research on forgiveness has included randomized trials of forgiveness interventions and long-running analysis of observational data. This research has indicated that forgiveness lowers depression and anxiety. Forgiveness can, over time, help free the victim from the hurt, rumination, and suppression of the offender. And again, one can pursue forgiveness and justice simultaneously. Most prior forgiveness interventions have required many sessions with a trained therapist. In our most recent randomized trial study, we've examined whether the past 30 years of work in clinical psychology on forgiveness could be distilled into a self-guide workbook that could be effective at promoting forgiveness and improving mental health. The workbook we studied employed Everett Washington's REACH model of forgiveness, where each letter of REACH stands for a different part of the process. The R stands for recall. Recall the hurt and let the emotions associated with it surface. Don't suppress them. The E stands for empathize. Empathize with the offender, trying to understand their reasons for the action without condoning the action or invalidating one's feelings. The A stands for altruistic gift. Realize that forgiveness is an altruistic gift that can be offered or withheld, and realize also that one has oneself sometimes done wrong and has been forgiven. The C stands for commit. Commit to forgive, to try to replace ill will with goodwill. And the H stands for hold on to the forgiveness, realizing that it takes time for emotions to heal and that sometimes the anger will return. We carried out a waitlist randomized trial to examine the effectiveness of this forgiveness workbook. The study had about 4,500 participants in five relatively high conflict countries: Colombia, South Africa, Ukraine, Indonesia, and Hong Kong. Happily, the workbook was indeed effective at increasing forgiveness. Those who received the forgiveness workbook immediately reported experiencing higher levels of forgiveness. Moreover, there was also evidence from the trial that the forgiveness workbook lowered depressive symptoms and anxiety symptoms, and that it increased hope. There was also evidence that it increased various aspects of flourishing: happiness, health, meaning, character, relationships, and even a sense of financial security. Given the important effects of forgiveness on mental health and well-being, and the existence of an effectively costless, easily disseminated, self-guided forgiveness workbook, forgiveness should be considered a public health issue. There are, of course, difficult moral questions around forgiveness that are important in their own right, but also important in thinking about forgiveness in the context of public health. Are there limits to forgiveness? What are the moral conditions under which forgiveness might be considered appropriate? While there is certainly no universal consensus, arguments have been put forward that, provided the victim doesn't deny the wrong that was done or its implications, or deny or suppress feelings about it, forgiveness, understood as replacing ill will towards the offender with goodwill, can always be morally appropriate. Again, forgiveness doesn't entail forging justice, and this distinction is critical, especially if forgiveness is promoted in clinical or community settings and in thinking about the morality of forgiveness. But what if the wrongdoer doesn't acknowledge the wrong or doesn't repent? Forgiveness, understood as replacing ill will towards the offender with goodwill, can still take place. And such forgiveness may still help free the victim from the offender. If something you say or do deeply hurts or offends another person, even if you believe you did nothing wrong, it can still be helpful to express sorrow for the other's pain. In some cases, this itself might facilitate healing and might help the other person to forgive. Forgiveness perhaps also points us towards the need for love within the community and a restoration of love when things have gone wrong. It even points towards a need for love of one's enemies, of those who have settled ill will towards oneself, or those towards whom one is inclined to have settled ill will. Our society has become increasingly polarized. We won't agree on everything, and those disagreements can be important. And yet, it's important also to recognize the humanity of those we disagree with, to understand those differences, and to work towards finding those aspects of what is good and what we can agree on and seek together. There is a paradoxical logic of love for one's enemies, and forgiveness facilitates this logic and love. By replacing ill will towards another with goodwill, forgiveness may prompt pro-social action that may itself propagate, thereby potentially helping to heal division. Love for one's enemy, seeks both the good of the other and also, when possible, a desire for reconciliation. Love extends beyond even forgiveness. Our society needs to foster a greater love of neighbor and love of enemy. Oh, that rumination is a tricky thing to control. How many times have you said you've forgiven somebody? And maybe even forgotten, only to have those nasty memories hold you hostage. They just keep replaying over and over in our mind. It's like we keep sifting through those memories looking for a different outcome. But remember, when you play this over and over again, it's kind of like the telephone game. Do you remember the telephone game where you would think of something, whisper it into the person next to you, who would then hopefully hear what you said, turn to the next person and whisper, and so on and so on. Obviously, the fun of the game is that the person didn't quite hear what you said, therefore, what they relay is something totally different. So the gag is at the end, whatever that person says is nowhere close to what it was originally meant to be. But think about this, the more you just replay these memories and talk to yourself, your internal self-talk, sometimes our recall gets skewed. Like, it might actually be better than reality. So you soften those edges, you blur those lines, you convince yourself to only remember the bigger and better. Or maybe it's worse because you're so mad that your memory is then allowing you to add in things that never really happened. So it could have been something that was offensive, of course, but now it's blown out of proportion because you've kept this all in your head. You have to let go of what you can't control. This might be a very, very difficult exercise to do, but remember, we can't rewrite history. You cannot go back in time and change what you did or what you said. And give yourself a break. We're only operating with the knowledge and the skills we had at the time. Who knows when it actually happened, but how were you operating then? What did you know? What kind of experiences did you have that had shaped you up until that point? Hopefully, we are growing, we are evolving, we are changing, and forgiveness could become easier to us. Give yourself a break. Let go of what you can't control, forgive, and literally move forward. Douglas A. Smith, author of the best-selling book Happiness, The Art of Living with Peace, Confidence, and Joy, teaches mastering the skills of forgiveness, found on his blog. Let's discuss the skill of forgiveness, since almost all of us struggle with this skill, and also because it may be the most important of the 13 skills that lead to happiness, or what positive psychologists call flourishing. That's what they call happiness these days, flourishing. The model we use is based on the belief that people who flourish have a unique perspective on three things. Number one, they remember the past with peace. Whatever hurts they have experienced or caused, they've learned from it and let it go. they don't carry around a lot of anger or remorse about the past. Number two, they have confidence in the future. As they look to the future, they know they have a role to play in preparing for the future. They also know that they can't control the future and that the future will most assuredly be different from exactly what they've expected. Therefore, those who flourish focus on their role and are willing to accept whatever merry diversions and future brings. And three, finally, with peace about the past and confidence in the future, they're able to live in the present rather than being pulled into the past with anger, remorse, or into the future with fear and trepidation. So you want to know the 13 skills that lead to flourishing? Well, they're broken up into past, present, and future. In the past, forgiveness, number one, and gratitude. In the present, doing now what I'm doing now. Honoring mind, body, and spirit. Being altruistic and kind. Thinking with abundance. Mastering our stories. Finding meaning and purpose. And cherishing relationships. And in the future, faith, optimism, flexibility, and openness. The two skills that led to peace with the past are forgiveness and gratitude. Let's focus on forgiveness. The past doesn't really exist. Our only access to it is through our memories. What we carry in our memories, how we choose to remember the past, has a profound effect on our present and our ability to flourish. If you're like me, most likely you've carried around with you negative things about the past, often the very distant past, that limit our ability to live with joy in the present. You may not have thought about forgiveness as a skill, but it is a skill. In fact, it's two very distinct skills, forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others. The first is a skill about releasing the desire for vengeance, and the second is a skill of self-esteem. Both are essential to having peace with the past. Let's look at them separately. When we struggle with forgiving others, we're experiencing anger and a desire for revenge. Why do we hold on to hurts others have caused us, or we perceive they have caused us? We do this for three reasons. We do this because we have the mistaken feeling that by not forgiving this, we'll right the wrong. It doesn't. It has no effect on the wrong that has been perpetrated. We also hold on to anger in an attempt to reduce the status of the perpetrator, to have others think less of the person. Here again, this serves no legitimate purpose. Finally, we hold on to the anger in order to bring it all back at some future date and manipulate the person. You remember when you did this to me 6 months ago? This too serves no useful purpose and undermines our friendships. When we carry anger, it harms us far more than the person toward whom it is directed. Now, most of us are pretty good at what is called transactional forgiveness, or where the perpetrator has apologized and we've become the victor as opposed to the victim. What is considerably more difficult is practicing unconditional forgiveness, or forgiveness where the other person feels no remorse about what they've done and has not apologized. This is a skill that is unique, but one that is at the core of flourishing. The daughter of the minister killed by Dylann Roof in a church in Charleston, South Carolina, captured unconditional forgiveness. At Dylann Roof's arraignment, she said, "You cannot have my joy. It's not yours to take. I forgive you. I hope God will have mercy on you." If we are to have peace with the past, we must be able to forgive unconditionally, for without it, our ability to flourish is bound up with the very person who has offended us. The other skill of forgiveness is forgiveness of self. When we knowingly do someone else an injustice or cause another harm, we naturally feel remorse for having done so. This sense of remorse has a useful purpose. Remorse has us contemplate the hurt we've caused, seek to rectify it, and not repeat it in the future. But for many of us, we continue to not forgive ourselves and carry this remorse long after the remorse has served its purpose, long after we've rectified our behavior. Psychologists refer to this residue remorse as dirty pain, for it serves no useful purpose and limits our ability to experience joy. Forgiveness of self is a skill of self-esteem. Self-esteem is two things. It's the sense that I'm confident I can face the future and the sense that I am worthy of happiness. When we correct our behavior and then forgive ourselves, we're practicing self-esteem in that we're demonstrating our worthiness of forgiveness, our worthiness of happiness. For those who can't forgive either themselves or others, time doesn't move forward, but consistently circles back to the past, to a painful time, whether either you harmed someone else or someone harmed you. It doesn't serve us well. Anger and remorse corrode the vessel in which it's contained. There are only four things you can do with hurts from the past. 1, you can forget them. Great if it happens. 2, you can repress them. They always come back in insidious ways. 3, you can hold on to them, what most of us do to our own detriment. And 4, you can forgive, the choice that leads to a flourishing life. Forgiveness is the only voluntary choice we have to successfully deal with hurts from the past. The practice of forgiveness, both transactional and unconditional, both of ourselves and others, is critical to living with joy. Okay, if you're getting a little anxious thinking about the act of forgiveness, remember, you don't always have to make a grand public display or even approach the person and physically let them off the hook. Sometimes we feel wronged or hurt when nothing actually happened, or the other person has no idea what transpired or how you feel. In this case, let yourself off the hook. Be okay with moving forward in your own understanding. Release the need for an apology or even for the other person to understand how you felt at the time. Remember, people aren't going to understand exactly how you feel or how you react to anything. Human relationships are give and take. And some are amicable and the giving is free, while others are toxic and the taking feels like thievery. But forgiveness starts with you. It starts with opening your heart and seeking peace for your soul. Roger Gabriel walks us through 13 steps that lead to forgiveness, found at Chopra.com. Forgiveness is an essential part of your spiritual growth and a necessary tool to cleanse karma. It's the key that unlocks the heart and the door to the body of love. If you cannot forgive, you will never be able to truly love. You have karmic connections to everyone in your life, past and present. This connection is like a fine thread, which may become dark and filled with blockages of anger and resentment. By not forgiving, you give your personal power to another person and create a prison of anger and resentment around you. When you forgive, the blockage disappears, and the thread turns to pure light. As M.L. Stedman said, you only have to forgive once. To resent, you have to do it all day, every day. If you don't forgive, you're the one who suffers, allowing the other person to hurt you over and over again. There are essentially three types of forgiveness. Sometimes all three are involved in the same situation. Forgiving others for a hurt you perceive they have caused, asking others to forgive you for a hurt you perceived you have caused, forgiving yourself for a hurt you perceived you have caused yourself. The word perceive is important here, as sometimes the idea of the hurt might be different to different people. Regardless of the situation, here are 13 steps to follow in the forgiveness process. Responsibility. The first step in forgiving is to take responsibility for your emotions. Not necessarily responsibility for the situation, but how it made you feel. Emotions are a choice. To forgive, you must recognize that it is your emotion and stop blaming others for how you choose to feel. Pain is real, but suffering is a choice. Acceptance. Whatever happened, happened. You can't change the past. Accepting what happened allows you to move forward from the past to the present. Healing happens in the present. This doesn't mean you have to forget what happened, but dwelling on it or wishing it to be different doesn't serve you. Accept it, learn from it, and begin creating the future you deserve. So many people hold on to anger and animosity towards someone who has been dead for years, or one group of people is hostile towards another for something their ancestors did generations ago. This can end up being a waste of time and energy that could be used elsewhere. Separation. One of the most important parts of forgiveness is to separate the person from the act. There are many acts which can never be forgiven: murder, rape, child abuse, etc. However, you can forgive the person who committed the act. Focus your forgiveness on the person, not what was done by the person. Release. Whatever emotions you're still feeling, anger, sadness, fear, guilt, are the stress and toxicity locked into your physiology, diminishing your quality of life. Take some time to be quiet, be aware of the emotion mentally, and then feel it physically in your body. It will show up as some pain, tightness, or other discomfort. Now, do something physical to release the sensation. This could be jumping, running, shouting, or breathing forcefully. Whatever you do should require some effort. Imagine you are forcing that sensation out of your body. Understanding. Next, see if you can begin to understand why this person might have done what was done. What was going on in that person's life at the time? Maybe put yourself in that person's shoes and ask yourself, what would it have taken for me to do that? How much pain and suffering or distorted thinking would I have to have had to experience that? Remember, everyone, including you, is doing the best they can from their level of awareness, no matter how confused that might have been at the time. Karma. Karma is a complex subject and sometimes hard to accept. From a Vedic perspective, everything is the result of karma. So whatever has happened to you was the result of some previous act of yours. Consider, therefore, that the person who you feel hurt you was creating future karma for themselves, but was also the postman delivering your karma. Opportunity. Every experience or situation holds the gift of an opportunity for growth. If you view your life as problems, you miss these gifts. No matter how dark the experience might have seemed, look for the opportunity. Your spiritual strength and awareness comes from seeing these opportunities. Meditation. Meditation is a powerful tool that can help you in the process of forgiving. A silent meditation takes you beyond the mind, beyond thought. It allows you to naturally release the blockages that are causing your suffering. A lack of forgiveness creates limitations in your life. Meditation allows you to look beyond the problem and open you to the realm of infinite possibilities. Meditations bring clarity of thinking and opens your heart, bringing compassion and understanding. Layers. Although Stedman said you only need to forgive once, sometimes there are several layers to forgiveness. As you peel off one layer, another is exposed. No one says peeling back each layer is easy, but it is necessary, and the rewards are well worth any effort. Remember, forgiveness is all about you. Even though it may sound selfish, it's necessary for you to reach a place of comfort within yourself before you can help anyone else. Keep digging until you find that peace. Forgive, and maybe even forget. If you can forgive and forget, that's great. However, this isn't necessary. If someone has harmed you, forgiving doesn't mean you have to spend the rest of your life with them. If the person committed a crime, forgiving doesn't necessarily mean they shouldn't be legally punished. Forgive, but use your common sense. Learn from the experience. Share. If the situation involves another person close to you, sharing your feelings and allowing the other person to share their feelings can create a strong, meaningful relationship moving forward. However, only do this if both of you are ready. Writing a letter to the other party, expressing your feelings and addressing forgiveness can also be a useful tool when a face-to-face dialogue isn't possible. There's sometimes no need to even send the letter. It can be just for your benefit. Awareness. Like so many other things in your life, the best approach is prevention. If you live your life consciously aware of your choices, hopefully you'll avoid situations that could be hurtful. If you do find yourself in such a situation, the sooner you can process your emotions, the less you'll have to forgive in the future. The process of forgiving in the moment or forgiving something from the past is essentially the same process. Freedom. As previously mentioned, forgiveness often has many layers, but you'll know you've truly and fully forgiven something or someone when you can face it with no emotional charge. Processing any emotion isn't comfortable, which is why you often keep putting it off, but it is worth it. When you forgive, reward yourself. Enjoy the lightness, empowerment, and the freedom forgiveness brings. If you're in need of forgiveness, let's follow this meditation. So, get comfy. Shake it out. Ready? Close or open your eyes, whichever is more comfortable. Think of all those you may need to forgive for hurting you. Can you forgive them? Think of those you've hurt. Can you ask for forgiveness? Reflect on the fact that everyone, including you, is always doing the best they can in any moment. Are you holding on to guilt? Can you forgive yourself? Choose one person you need to forgive. What emotions are you feeling? Where are you feeling them in your body? Is there discomfort there? Breathe deeply into that area of your body. Allow your breath to begin untying the knots. Bring your awareness into your heart. Be aware of your own ability for love and compassion. Breathe in love. Fill yourself with pure love. For now, put aside what was done and see the person as a small baby. See their purity and their innocence. Bring this baby into your heart. Hold this baby in your love. Can you forgive this innocent child? Try to understand what might have happened to make the person behave the way they did. Forgive. Forgive and free yourself. Breathe. Imagine what your life will be like when you've forgiven everyone, including yourself. Be grateful for the miracle of your life. Be grateful for everyone in your life. Take a few deep breaths. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. Good. Now, while you're in a relaxed state, let's remember. Acknowledge the mistake. Recognize and accept that you made a mistake or hurt yourself or others. Feel the emotions. Allow yourself to feel any guilt, shame, and regret that may arise from the mistake. Practice self-compassion. Treat yourself with kindness and understanding, recognizing that everyone makes mistakes and that you're worthy of forgiveness. Reflect and learn. Reflect on the mistake and consider what you can learn from it to avoid repeating it in the future. Apologize if necessary. If your mistake hurt others, consider apologizing and making amends to those affected, or at least be willing to do it in your heart. Let go of perfectionism. Accept that you're human and that making mistakes is a natural part of life. Focus on the present. Instead of dwelling on the past, focus on the present moment and how you can move forward in a positive way. And seek support. Talk to a trusted friend, a family member, or a therapist about your feelings and experiences to gain perspective and support. Forgiving yourself can be a challenging process, but it is an important step toward healing and moving forward in a positive way. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Forgiveness is a transformative act that can profoundly impact your well-being. By releasing resentment and anger, you free yourself from emotional burdens, leading to increased mental clarity and peace. Embrace forgiveness to cultivate healthier relationships, promote inner healing, and pave the way for a more fulfilling life. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here.